It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Well, well, well. Well, you look who finally came back to work. That is right, your radio buddy triumphantly returning to Fox News headquarters right here in New York City for another big day of top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. It has gotten really messy out there since I went Hollywood and flew out to the West Coast to film a documentary and do my best when walking the streets under Gavin Newsom not to step in any of that outdoor restroom residuals. Yeah, it's disgusting out there. The palm trees are nice, but you really can't look up when you're walking on those sidewalks, sadly. But we'll clean up the whole country, not just California, everything in America. We need a family meeting. We need a State of the Union, if you will, and all are welcome to participate. 888-788-9910 is the phone number, and the rule remains in place. With or without me, when you got one of these guest hosts, you know, or on the off chance that I actually stop being a diva and come to work, the rules remain the same. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, be a Libertarian, be an Independent. Just don't be a that is all. So we begin with the big question, which is, hey, man, where the hell have you been? I got messages, a couple of concerned radio stations, because I've been off like 4 days. I was traveling to Mesa, Arizona to do stand-up last weekend. That was an epic show. If you made it, take a bow. We had an absolutely wild time. And then I spent Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and a good portion of Wednesday. I was out in Los Angeles because I have a documentary coming out about the moon landing. So I got a chance to work with William Shatner again, which is a lot of fun, Captain Kirk. We did some time on Hollywood Boulevard, which, by the way, if you don't believe aliens are real, you have never walked around on Hollywood Boulevard after 8 o'clock at night.
That's true. That is true.
They got some real winners out there. My goodness gracious. But, yeah, we were filming a documentary, and now I'm back here in New York for 1 day. And then tomorrow I will be filming Fox News Saturday Night. We have a new Saturday Night show on Fox News. It's a 10 p.m. show. I am one of the rotating hosts for the time being, so you will see me tomorrow filming. I'll be on the channel. I'll be on the Ingram Angle. I'll be on tonight with Sean Hannity. I'll be on The Bottom Line with Dagan McDowell. It's going to be a banger all over the TV set. But today we begin, of course, with some You and Me time. And it's happy to be back. It's nice to be sitting here in the studio. You know what I'm saying? Doing the damn thing. So if I sound a little out of sorts, it's actually like sentiment. It's like, I feel like I'm back in my childhood bedroom, and it looks like it because I have all these toys still sitting here in the studio. So it's like a whole, you know, getting the band back together. Unfortunately, we are not getting the country back together anytime soon. It is a mess out there. Okay, I called into the show last Friday when the news had surfaced that Trump would, in fact, be indicted because I just wanted to remind everybody listening that this was a loss for every single American.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, you can tell me he might have broke the law in an egregious way, and a lot of Republicans seem to think so. Okay, certainly a guy like Bill Barr is, I've been out there.
This guy will say anything.
But I don't think he's wrong when he talks about the law. But the reason so many people are rightfully against the indictment of Trump is because we see a wild, brazen misappropriation of justice. Donald Trump, as you know, not the first government official to mishandle classified information.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Never mind that he did it with the presidential security clearance. Okay? Did Hillary Clinton have a presidential security clearance when she destroyed emails under subpoena?
The answer would be no.
When Joe Biden was a senator, and he brought documents to his home that wound up being there for another 2 decades?
The answer would be no.
Did not have that clearance. Was there a security clearance at the University of Pennsylvania where Biden left documents?
The answer would be no.
How about his Delaware Beach home?
The answer would be no.
So you understand, okay, you can talk to me about how Trump's handling of classified information was sloppy, and you'll get me to shake my head yes. I'll be like, yeah, no, it really was. Okay, but what you can't tell me is that there wasn't a double standard in place when it comes to prosecutorial discretion, because everyone did it but him. Okay, but the only one being charged is him. So in that regard, it's ridiculous. Merrick Garland was asked about his role in the indictment process. Now, you need to understand what the lineage is here, what the case history to the case happens to be. Merrick Garland was a guy in the summer of 2016 that was next in line to be Barack Obama's Supreme Court justice pick. Okay, a seat had opened up, as you know. Mitch McConnell used his leverage in an election year to pressure Barack Obama into not filling the seat until after the election. And of course, Obama went along with it because in his infinite wisdom, he thought the Democrats were definitely going to win the election.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
But the point is, he did take a gamble and lose. Republicans ultimately wound up filling the seat after Trump won the election. And the seat that would have gone to Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court wound up resurfacing 4 years later under the auspices of he would be the attorney general under Joe Biden, tasked with going after the very Republicans who had denied him his place on the Supreme Court.
This could be a problem.
Big problem. Okay, because these are guys that very well seem to be viewing justice through a partisan lens. Garland was asked about it, clip one.
Can you give the American public a very clear sense of what exactly your role was in the indictment process, just so people can understand what that role is?
My role is completely consistent with the regulations that set forth the responsibilities of the Attorney General under the special counsel regulations, and I followed those regulations.
You're a bald-faced liar, a liar.
So as Attorney General, they rolled out this investigation into Trump, got a full-on indictment and an FBI raid in less than a year. At the same time, they've got an investigation into Hunter Biden that's been going on for 5 years. Merrick Garland, who wants you to believe he's impartial, hasn't put any pressure on anybody to speed the plow on that one.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Seriously. Okay, you see a double standard in place. You see a lot more evidence, public-facing evidence, of Biden family malfeasance, but there's been no interest in pursuing it on a DOJ level. Certainly been no interest whatsoever in pursuing it in the media.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Completely. Merrick Garland was asked why they took the step, given how extraordinary it is, given how potentially divisive it is for the country. Here he is, clip two.
Given the historic and extraordinary nature of the case, explain to people, if you would, why this was the best and most appropriate step that was taken and why there were no other alternatives.
This, again, is asking for particulars, and I'm not going to be able to comment. All of the comments on this will have to come in filings in court.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Okay, because there's an obvious double standard. Trump, to his credit, pointed it out when he spoke at Bedminster Tuesday night after the indictment. Here he is speaking to the double standard, clip six.
Hillary Clinton set up an illegal private server in her basement. You never heard this story. Hillary stored vast quantities of classified and sensitive information on her illicit server. When caught, Hillary then deleted and acid washed. Nobody does that because of the expense, but it's pretty conclusive. 33,000 emails in defiance of a congressional subpoena already launched. The subpoena was there, and she decided to delete, acid wash, and then smash and destroy her cell phones with a hammer. And then they say, I participated in obstruction. The FBI and the DOJ protected her, did not issue subpoenas, did not use a grand jury.
No, they didn't. Although I'm surprised she used acid wash. I just assumed that she washed them with hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Give me a break. But here is Hillary Clinton. She was on Pod Save America talking about the Trump indictment and laughing it up. She was, of course, out fundraising off of the Trump indictment, a man who was indicted for mishandling classified information, something she was able to skate on, goes out and yucks it up.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Oh, man. And these are the worst white folks. Here it is, clip eight.
On Thursday, the Department of Justice indicted former President
You're
Donald Trump.
Kidding.
I know. Oh, did you have any reaction to the news, or are you keeping your powder dry in case you get jury duty in New York?
You know, John, I have a lot of reactions to it.
And I think the best reaction publicly is, you know, let's see it unfold and see what happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
You are so full of shit.
She loves this. Okay. And if she loved the country half as much as she loves herself or her insatiable quest for power and prominence, she'd be speaking out against it. Don't ever forget that the first thing Donald Trump did as president was get into office and say, I'm really glad we're not going to prosecute Hillary Clinton. He did that. Okay. He saw to it that she wasn't, in fact, charged. Why? Because he realized it was really divisive and destructive for the country. Okay, but on the left, what you need to understand is they don't care about divisive. They don't care about destruction. What they care about is power. Every single time. They just want power. In this instance, they're weaponizing the Department of Justice in a way, okay, that will absolutely constitute election interference in the 2024 election. If for no other reason, then this is the guy winning in the polls. And believe me, he's not going to win the general election under multiple indictments.
Wrong.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not saying I don't want him to. I'm not saying he wouldn't be consequentially better than Biden or Gavin Newsom when he winds up ultimately replacing Biden.
Come on, man.
Okay, but that's the truth. Okay, the Republican nominee is going to be beating either Gavin Newsom or Kamala Harris.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
Fine. But one of the main reasons they're going after Trump as aggressively as they are is because they know they're in a real bad spot when it comes to the 2024 election. The other reason they're doing it is they know there's a lot of go along to get along Republicans in Washington, D.C. that want nothing to do with a guy like Trump. They don't. They don't want an outsider running this government. OK, a lot of them hold their own aspirations for the Oval Office. And bigger than all of that, OK, is the Republicans, you understand, by and large, are very good at telling their voters what we want to hear. Well, cut spending. You'll see. It's going up. Kevin McCarthy just agreed to a debt ceiling deal, despite the fact that he holds the power of the purse that will increase spending. Okay, but the claim is it's a cut because they're not going to increase it as quickly as they wanted to.
What a fraud.
Absolutely, because it's not cutting spending. I mean, but you could think back earlier. The Republicans spent 8 years campaigning on repeal and replace Obamacare. The minute Trump got into office, okay, his first domestic agenda item was we'll repeal and replace Obamacare. Did the Republicans who campaigned on it for 8 years actually have a plan in place to repeal and replace Obamacare?
The answer would be no.
The point is politicians aren't going to save you. They appeal, okay, to your better angels in an effort to get, you know, your support. You think about the Democrats screaming and yelling in the summer in 2020 about Black Lives Mattering. Okay, what did they ultimately do? Cut police budgets, send the black murder rate up by 30%. Are any of the Democrats doing anything about that right now?
The answer would be no.
No. You can't count on politics, but this is one of those moments where you absolutely have to rely on your own power to influence what's going on in this country. I'm talking about the ballot box. Okay, you can no longer support politicians in either party. If you're a Democrat right now, you care about the country, I promise you it's so bad for you that Donald Trump could spend 10 or 15 years in prison. It's not good for the country. I'm not telling you there's going to be a violent uprising or anything like that. I'm telling you we're going to be divided in a way where the fight for power gets so vicious that we're eventually going to break the toy. You've all seen a little kid that doesn't want to share the toy. No, mine. No, give it to me. No, ma. And then eventually the thing just rips in half. That's what's going on in America right now. And it's not going on because Trump did anything unique. There are multiple people serving in our government right now who did what he did. And they're not going to get prosecuted anytime soon. But the truth is there's going to come a day in this country where there are enough Republicans in leadership who have a set of balls that are going to make this the new standard. And people like Joe Biden, okay, who have been on the wrong side of a lot of financial situations over the years, are not going to get the free pass they've been used to getting from Washington.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Maybe even Hillary Clinton gets a little knock on the door from the DOJ.
This is not okay.
Okay, we're not there yet, no question, because there aren't enough Republicans, okay, that are out there willing to fight this fight. But the truth is Republicans are no different than Democrats in that they want power just as bad as the Democrats do. And when you set the standard here, it's only a matter of time. You know, necessity being the mother of invention, it's only a matter of time before the Republicans realize the only way they can fight back is to fight dirty just like the Democrats do. And in the end, what we have is a perpetual quest to weaponize whoever holds the levers of power against their political opponents. We've seen this happen 100 times around the world, and it doesn't end good for any country that's running that business model.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
A show so good, people don't know what to think.
This feels weird. Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla back in action. Busy day. Tudor Dixon's going to be here. Kat Kamick from the great state of Florida. Diamond Dave Landau. But batting leadoff up in Middlebury, Vermont. Peter listening on WVMT. Yo, Peter.
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say thank you for you. Anybody who's met you appreciates that you are one regular guy.
Oh, man.
You are the real deal and very remarkable, and all the success you're enjoying is well-deserved.
Whoa, Peter, I'll give you the $50 for saying that later. Thank you.
Sure, no worries.
Perfect.
Man.
Well done.
It's so great to talk to you. But as we watch Trump suffer from what I think many would agree are self-inflicted wounds, mm-hmm. I find it astonishing and abominable that the guy, after enduring years of headwinds, mm-hmm. that he's now – they're carving him up, and they've now got him apparently and have the opportunity at least to put him in jail. And Jimmy, mm-hmm. we have all, whether we acknowledge it or not, gained from Trump's presidency. And granted the guy's a supersized ego, and granted that he's bombastic, and granted that he's a disruptor. Mm-hmm. But everybody, Jimmy, who was astonished that he was president, needs only look in the mirror. The reason we hired a disruptor like Trump is mm-hmm. because they're so ineffective.
Yeah, he couldn't have won.
This guy, yeah. And then you've got a guy like Jeb Bush who declares there are a whole lot more fun things I could do than be president of the U.S. Well, that is very true, I'm sure. Trump's given a great deal, and at the end of it, this is going to be his thanks. I think it's abominable, Jimmy, and
yeah.
I really appreciate you giving me a few seconds to say that.
Of course, Peter, and we'll keep fighting this good fight for you. We might be fighting it in Vermont soon, so stay in touch. You might see us up there before the end of July. The great Peter in Middlebury, Vermont. Here's the deal, okay? The one thing I can tell you is, I mean, I've been everywhere in the country doing stand-up in the past year, literally everywhere, the South, the North, the Northeast, anywhere you can think of, California, liberal states, red states, blue states, doesn't matter. I was in freaking Portland. Think about that. We sold out the theater, but they didn't put my name on the marquee because it was Portland. And they were like, wow, somebody's going to come by and throw rocks through the window. Okay, we have a largely lawless society where violent killers are going free, where rapers and robbers are going free. Okay, the border's wide open. The cartels are making billions of dollars. But the one time the Justice Department tells us that nobody's above the law is when a guy forgets to return his library books.
What the hell is the world coming to?
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, 888-788-9910. Back in action. Together again, you and me, on the radio, making magic. I'll be all over your TV tonight. I'm on with Sean Hannity at 9. Dagan McDowell on The Bottom Line in the 6 p.m. hour on Fox Business. Tomorrow, you will see me on The Ingram Angle, Sean Duffy guest hosting Cable News Super Hunk. And Saturday night, I am hosting Fox News Saturday Nights, 10 o'clock show, Father's Day weekend. The word on the street is you're going to see Lincoln Failla making his live TV debut, so you definitely want to check that out just to see if he drops any F-bombs, gets me fired. Listen, at this point, I would take the downtime. I'm beat up, man. I've been everywhere. In the last week. But right now I am, of course, here with you trying to have a constructive conversation about what's going on in the country because it's such a mess, man. Okay, Bill Barr, you've heard him on this show. Some of you guys hate him. You know, and it's weird because it really underscores the transactional nature of our politics. When Bill Barr was the attorney general and the Mueller probe came out, didn't give the Democrats what they wanted, what did they all do? Oh, he's obstructing justice. He's a criminal. The collusion was there. Barr just wouldn't let us see it. He's a monster.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Right. But then we sat there. Okay, at the end of the Trump presidency, the Democrats hated Bill Barr. And then suddenly the Republicans hated Bill Barr. A lot of Republicans were like, nah, how could you have that rhino on? He's not doing enough to find the fraud. But the truth is all the people who were alleging fraud on TV weren't going into court and making those same claims.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, the Rudy Giulianis of the world had nothing, okay? They didn't. I'm not saying that I could tell you with a straight face that Joe Biden is the most popular president in history.
I agree with that.
I'm not telling you they didn't juice turnout because of mail-in balloting. But I am telling you that Bill Barr isn't an establishment shill that just has it out for Donald Trump. Bill Barr comes on this show all the time and flat out says, me and Trump have a lot of differences. He bashes me all the time. But if he were running against Biden right now, I'd vote for Trump.
Come on, man.
But that's what he says. So you understand, when Bill Barr is offering you analysis, okay, he is offering you his best objective take on the situation. And I tell you one thing. Oh, man, does this matter. There is nobody on this show more than once, if I've met them off the air, talk to them for a few seconds, and come to the conclusion that they were full of nobody. The people you hear on this show on a repeated basis are the people that I realize mean it off the air. Okay, the ones who just genuinely care and are trying to have a good faith dialogue. They're not carnival barkers. They're not trying to get clicks. Okay, one of the things that makes this show good is also one of the things that holds the show back. Okay, we're not sensationalizing everything. We're not ramping up the emotion meter to get your attention and to get you angry and to send you home to your family in a bad mood just because. You know, content needs to get back to a place where the deliverable on it is positive. You leave feeling okay about yourself. Yeah, the world's a mess. Yeah, the country's on fire. But at least my buddy Jimmy Fallon pulled out a stick and roasted some marshmallows for me. Not that he shared him with me. Have you seen the guy on TV?
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
Anyway, Bill Barr was on TV, okay? And he was talking about Trump, okay? And he flat out said, man, you know, if what's in this is true, Trump's in a bad spot. That doesn't mean there's not a double standard. It doesn't mean we don't have a two-tier justice system. We do. But the reality that we do, that's the wake-up call, okay? They're not indicting him for fun, okay? They want to get this guy, and they want nothing more than to arrest this guy and leave him in jail for 10 or 15. They do. That's the reality we're living in. So if he committed some type of an unforced error, I'm just telling you because I care, as somebody who wants to see this country go in a productive direction, okay, he's not going to be around to win the presidency. Okay, here's Barr talking about it, clip 11.
I was shocked by the degree of sensitivity of these documents and how many there were, frankly. And so the government's agenda was to get those, protect those documents and get them out. And I think it was perfectly appropriate to do that. It was the right thing to do. And I think the counts under the Espionage Act that he willfully retained those documents are solid counts. Now, I do think we have to wait and see what the defense says and what proves to be true. But I do think that even half what Andy McCarthy said, which is if even half of it is true, then he's toast.
It was made up by these sick people.
I mean, who knows? But Kevin McCarthy, to his credit, was asked by the media about this yesterday and pointed out a massive double standard. Okay, understand Donald Trump was the president of the United States. He did have declassification powers. It's not to say he declassified these documents. I don't know that. But you know who definitely didn't declassify the documents they had in their multiple homes? Joe Biden.
Bingo.
Senators don't have that power. Vice presidents don't have that power. Biden retained classified documents from both of those scenarios. Here's Kevin McCarthy, to his credit, speaking up to CNN reporters, clip 13.
Well, there is a difference because why did they only brought up their attorneys looking at it after they started going after President Trump and raided it? Why did they never look at this former vice president or senator? Why would he even have a document? Okay, regardless of everything happened when he gave it back, I've always said equal justice. So my question back to you, is it equal or fair? Have you ever asked the question to the current president as a senator, why would you ever even have that document outside of the skiff? Has anyone answered that question?
And the answer is no. Okay, if this was a society that was really prioritizing a greater good, that wanted to hold elected leaders accountable regardless of which party they were from, the uproar over Trump's would be equal to the uproar over Biden's, okay, and vice versa. Okay, it's no different than any foreign chicanery. We had a 3-year Mueller probe over Russian collusions, completely made up out of thin air. Okay, day in and day out, we're uncovering more evidence every day, physical evidence, not anonymously sourced bombshells, not, you know, unsourced allegations leaked to CNN.
CNN is the worst.
They really are. But the point is, we ran for 3 years with no evidence. We've spent 3 years ignoring all kinds of evidence when it comes to the Bidens. So this apoplectic coverage in the media, oh, he endangered the country. Okay, none of them have a word to say about the behavior on the other side. And that's where journalism is failing the whole country. What the press was supposed to do is they were supposed to be this additional estate that was there to hold the people in power in check, make sure they weren't selling us out, make sure they weren't up to no good. But somewhere along the lines, the press was replaced by activists masquerading as journalists, which means the only time they'll ever demonstrate any intellectual curiosity is if there's something to be gained for the Democratic Party.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Really think about it. Okay, the Democrats, and this is insane, but the people, the liberal people in the media, Andrew Cuomo, okay, my former governor of New York, okay, handsy Andy Cuomo.
Andy!
Okay, we all remember him. He was literally committing eldercide in the summer of 2020. He signed an executive order forcing nursing homes to take infected coronavirus patients.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Totally, okay? And they took infected coronavirus patients, okay, knowing what a health risk this was. He gave the clinics criminal and civil immunity. Think about that. Hey, I'm signing this executive order, taking the infected coronavirus patients. Don't worry. I'm giving you criminal and civil immunity. Can't get sued, can't go to jail. Now, why would somebody give you criminal and civil immunity? Are you ready for it? Because they know they're doing something bad.
Correct the mundo.
That's why they do it. Okay, but the media didn't say a word because in the summer of 2020, it was more important to build up Cuomo as a means of tearing down Trump. So they didn't care. Okay, the media that lit the country on fire over Russian collusion. Nah, it's Russian collusion. I'm telling you, it's bad. Okay? Given no on-record reporting, no substances who came forward and put their name on an account of anything, that same media completely ignored not only Hunter Biden's business partners coming forward to say, hey, by the way, I was involved in every one of these emails and every one of these transactions. And they were given 10% of the money to Joe Biden.
Are you the big man, Joe?
Okay, understand. The media ignored all of that living, breathing evidence. The media ignored all the findings in the Hunter Biden laptop that every one of them has since corroborated as being real. Think about that. They buried it in the run-up to the election, straight-up election interference. But they didn't care. Okay, nor did they go back after the fact and re-examine some of Joe Biden's claims. Now, understand. Okay, Joe Biden famously told us on the campaign trail he had never, ever talked to his son once about his business dealings.
You're a bald-faced liar. A liar.
Totally. No, never talked about his business dealings. But then what did we find? Oh, here's a voicemail to him talking to his son about his business dealings. Oh, here's emails where his mention talking to his son about his business dealings. Oh, here's his son's business partners thanking Hunter for the a chance to talk business with his father at Cafe Milano in Washington, D.C. Oh, here's a picture of him getting together with Hunter's business partners. Oh, I get it. Here they are flying on Air Force Two over to China to meet with some of the business partners. Do you understand? Hunter Biden was placed on the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian power company, at the time they were negotiating with the United States, okay? And Joe Biden was the point man. serving as the vice president of the United States.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. And even all the way back in 2019, he was asked about this by Axios. We have the clip. I'm going to play it for you. Everything he says in this clip is a proven lie, like physically proven, not proven like based on this Jimmy Fallon opinion. Is it proven? No, the actual proof, the documented emails, the banking transactions, the business partners who've come forward. Everything in this clip is a lie, and not a single solitary person is revisiting the lie. But do you understand why this is significant? Because if the guy is lying about whether or not he talked to his son's business partners, he is absolutely lying about whether or not he made money from the deal.
You're absolutely right.
Here it is, clip 20.
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like, when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was, there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong. So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family. I mean, come on. This is...
So
these guys are amazing.
So you think that everything that happened was kosher?
You know there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit, to suggest anything done was wrong.
Wow.
You were lying your ass off.
Okay. They have, just so we understand, not only bank records showing that the Bidens set up 15 different shell companies to funnel the money back into their grandchildren's bank accounts, not only do we have his business partners on record, not only do we have over 150 suspicious activity reports that were filed under Barack Obama's Treasury Department, okay, but we have photographic evidence, okay? We have everything in earth to tell you that what he said in that statement is a lie, but nobody's looking into it. And I'm telling you, this is the danger to the country right now, okay? Andrea has a summation. She has a theory. She's out in Pennsylvania. Yo, Andrea.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. How you been?
Good. I would say that I'm usually tucked in with the podcast, but I don't want to be misunderstood.
Oh, I know what you're shopping at Target again. Uh-oh.
I am an adult human female.
Amazing.
So
talk to me.
I know that you like movie and sports analogies.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a movie analogy that covers everything through my eyes.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the old John Wayne movie, Hellfighters.
Ooh, that's a deep cut. Continue.
Yeah. So towards the end of the movie, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
him and Jim Hutton are taking a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits up and Catherine Ross is kissing all over Jim Hutton. His mm-hmm. partner's sitting there in a wheelchair and his ex-wife is standing there. Mm-hmm. And he sits up and he says, "Somebody wake me up." And that's how I feel. I think I had knee replacement surgery in January 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm still asleep.
Well, listen.
Okay? If you... Something went wrong, and I'm in a coma, and this isn't real.
No, well, listen, be
so
careful.
Somebody wake me up.
Be careful, because if you walk around in an altered mental state, the Democrats will make you president. Now you're going to be super busy.
And I just want to say one very brief thing about Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody in the White House or corporate America notice that the month of May was Jewish American History Month?
Did you get anything for that or no?
Didn't see any flags.
Isn't it weird?
Didn't see any displays.
It's weird.
So I shredded my Target credit card and sent it to corporate headquarters.
Did you do that? Good for you.
Yes, I did.
Good for you.
And I'd like to Target because you got a 5% discount when you use the card,
mm-hmm.
and you went on Senior Citizens Day. I know it's hard to believe, but I am I'm a senior.
No, I get it. Well, you're out of luck because those Tuckett bathing suits are for kids. I don't know what you're going
to
do.
Well, I don't need to tuck anything in.
So. Wow. All right. You're a whole new woman. But, well, I lost that bet. Andrea, I kid. I love you. Be good.
Thank you.
We'll do it again soon, girlfriend. There she goes. And there we go. Back after this.
The critics have spoken.
You do that again and I'll break every bone in your body.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla running right back to the phones. I need backup. I've been off a couple of days. Michael is down in Florida. Yo, Michael.
Hey, Jimmy.
My man.
I'm really surprised it took you that long to raise bail money, my man. I'm really surprised.
You stop it. I'm in a liberal city. We don't even have bail anymore. You just walk out. What are you talking
just
about?
Just walk out.
Good for you.
Hey, buddy. You have talked a lot about Trump's unforced errors. Mm-hmm. And one of your guest hosts, maybe yesterday or the day before, was talking about why would Trump keep documents that he knows the Dems and the deep state are looking for reasons to go after him. Why would he keep those documents? This is another unforced error on his part, in my mind. And I'm just scratching my head going, why would you give them ammunition, buddy? You know, I'm trying to love you and keep you, you know, let you win the next election, but you keep shooting yourself in the foot. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, that part's rough because you want to know what it is. He knows, you know, he was banking on the fact that it would be a double standard to prosecute him. But as you know, if it weren't for double standards, the Democrats wouldn't have any standards. OK, that's how they get things done. So I think in that regard, he gambled and lost. But it's a really tough spot to find yourself in, because I don't think on the merits he can actually win the case. That's what I think the problem is. I don't know how long it's going to drag out. But I do know they want to kneecap him to the extent that they can, because I don't know if you've been paying any attention to Biden lately, but not the strongest week out there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think his strongest week was back in the 70s. But, you know, if you believe Bill Barr and some of the other people, that some of these charges could stick.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Not pretty. Then I won't be the only one trying to post bail. Good stuff, Michael. We'll do it again soon, brother.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. I actually showed up to work today. No more of this fancy TV chicanery. Not on the road telling jokes. No, I am here with you on the radio doing what I do best, which is eating myself senseless during commercial breaks.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
No, but I have a lot of respect for your intelligence, so I'm going to level with you in this hour. Tudor Dixon's coming on. She's a former GOP nominee, gubernatorial nominee in the great state of Michigan. She will be joining me on the panel this weekend. I am hosting the Fox News Saturday Night Show, 10 p.m. show. It debuted 2 weeks ago. They have a rotating cast of hosts. Until they ultimately decide, I guess, who the full-time person is going to be. But one way or the other, it's like the Oscars. It's an honor just to be nominated. So I will be there in my finest sequin jacket, something out of my Liberace stunt double collection. And I will be talking about it with Tudor here within the hour. But the main topic we're going to get into today is this new report out of the Democratic Party that if the presidential primary map for the Democrats were to hold its first two elections right now, Joe Biden would actually lose both of those primaries.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Now, this has to do with two things. One is the rising support for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The other has to do with the Democrats' insistence on reconfiguring the primary map to make South Carolina the first vote of the primary. Now, why did they do that? Okay, because the truth is Jim Clyburn is the most influential, far and away, influential trendsetter in the black community. And down in South Carolina, his annual fish fry, that is an event, culminates with the person he's endorsing being honored at the fish fry, at which point that person is assured an overwhelming percentage of the black vote.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black,
Biden was able to say that and not get in trouble. Hey, black people, you don't have a choice. You can't even forget the other guy. No, forget the other. No, whoa. Forget that he ushered in $75 billion worth of opportunity zones for low-income black Americans. Forget that he went out and passed the First Step Prison Reform Act, which freed over 300,000 non-violent black drug offenders who were thrown in jail and sentenced over the overzealous guidelines of the 1994 Joe Biden crime bill. Forget all of that.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
Yeah, forget it all. Don't worry about the record. Okay, South Carolina fish fry. Jim Clyburn says I'm the guy. You just vote for me. And that's how this has worked. And the Democrats are so desperate as they continue to lose support within the black community, because you've got so many prominent black celebrities now flat out asking the question, hey, what the hell has voted Democrat ever done for us, said Ice Cube.
I think he's got a point.
Do you remember that? We were covering that on the show. Okay, we've seen this happen a lot in the past couple of weeks where somebody gets on the TV and goes, you know, by the way, we've been voting Democrat this whole time and nothing's going on. They just keep calling new people bigots and telling us to vote for them.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Totally. So when Stephen A. Smith was out there last week holding their feet to the fire on that, what were the Democrats trying to say? Oh, he doesn't know. He's just, you know, opinionated guy. You don't listen to them. Do you understand? Okay, the Democrats are the party of, you know, you've got to give black people their platform. You can't silence a ball player if he tells you all the cops are murderers, even though they're out there protecting him so he can earn $30 million a year and lecture you about inequality while he plays a children's game. You know, but the minute somebody goes against the grain of Democratic orthodoxy, go Google some of the things they've called Tim Scott, a black conservative. Go Google some of the things they call Byron Donalds, comes on the show all the time. Okay, you understand they don't really prioritize black Americans. They prioritize black Democrats. Okay, but that's the reality. They're so wholly contingent on retaining an overwhelming support from the black community that they've moved that primary up. Seeing as Biden could get off to a 1-0 start, he can have big support in the black community, at which point they could head off any potential challengers at the pass. You see, as of now, the Democrats don't have a COVID variant at their disposal to shorten the race Biden has to run. In 2020, he didn't have to run. Okay, they knew the establishment wanted him to be the nominee, so they locked him up in the House. He got his ass handed to him in the first few primaries. If you forget, you know, remember, he went out to Iowa, and yes, it took a little while for the caucuses to count their votes, but at the end of the day, Pete Buttigieg was the winner.
Pete Buttigieg is pathetic.
Totally. Okay, and then Biden lost where? New Hampshire. Got beat up real good. Okay, he had lost three primaries in total, if you count Nevada, by the time they got down to South Carolina, at which point he won one primary, and they were able to cajole every other Democrat to get out of the race. Hey, you got to support this guy. Nothing we can do. You got to support this guy. And that's what they did. That's how the Democrat does it. Okay, they are always able to rally support for the party's nominee, for the establishment's pick. Okay, guys have tried to go up against the establishment. Bernie Sanders famously did it against Hillary Clinton. What did we find out? They got caught leaking debate questions to Hillary Clinton. They got caught rigging the media coverage against Bernie Sanders. Okay, they did it again last time around. And Bernie, what did he ultimately do? He abandoned, okay, his quest for the White House, choosing instead to throw his weight behind Joe Biden under the auspices that he himself would be president anyway. And for all intents and purposes, that's who Joe Biden is as a president. He's President Bernie Sanders. Okay, he's not making as much money in America as Bernie Sanders, the anti-capitalist, happens to be raking in, lecturing people about the evils of capitalism. But it would appear Biden's made plenty of money outside of America, thanks to the helpful hustle of his son, Hunter.
Hunter's a dirtbag.
But the point is, regardless of how we got here, what the Democrats were trying to do was shorten the track for Joe Biden. They wanted him to win South Carolina, go, look, he's got the black vote. Don't worry about Iowa. Don't worry about New Hampshire. Just get everybody get behind the president. He's the incumbent. And then we can end the primary once and for all without him having to do too much work. That way they can keep him stashed away for the general election and they can hold on to their supply of B12 for those moments when he needs to face the public and they have to shoot him up beforehand before he can get out on TV. That's why Biden has those weird spasms when he's speaking. And he'll just start randomly screaming or randomly whispering. It's because he's shot up. Like, I've seen this in people. I drove a cab for a long time. Remember at the State of the Union when he goes, now's the time to choose between unity and schmeckenhammerha? He said that. He actually said those words. And no one asked any questions. There he was like, oh, yeah, you know.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
But it's a bigger liability this time around. So although the Democrats are trying to shorten the track, the fact remains 70% of Americans don't want this guy to run again. But the problem they have now is because Robert F. Kennedy was willing to challenge Biden, okay, if the Democratic Party doesn't get their way, if they don't reconfigure the way the primary map is drawn up, Joe Biden would stand to lose the first two 2024 contests. Okay, because if they're in the first to vote states of Iowa and New Hampshire, okay, something that is becoming more and more likely by the day, okay, if those Democrats who run the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primaries decide, nah, screw it, we're not going to wait for South Carolina. Tradition has always been Iowa and New Hampshire. We're not letting the Democrats rig the nominating process just so they could get the prestige going first because it'll help Biden grab the nomination. Our job as a party is to select the best guy, not to help the most hobbled guy.
Tell them like it is.
Okay, that's what South Carolina and the DNC is trying to do. The National Party is trying to help a weak candidate and get their man in power. Why? Because Biden winning the presidency allows 50 other people to be president. Okay, they love the idea of Biden doing two more terms. They wish he'd do eight more terms because all the bureaucrats get to run the country. Just write up an executive order. We'll make the guy sign it. What if he doesn't agree with it? He agrees with anything. Just give him his pudding cup, tell him to sign it. And he signs it. And that's basically what it's been. Joe Biden has been Bernie Sanders as president. Everything. Biden was not this radical left as a candidate. Biden was never this radical left as a vice president or a senator. Forget about it. Okay, this sudden progressive Joe Biden guy never existed. Joe Biden was against gay marriage until he wasn't.
I can't believe the American people can't see through this. We already have a law, the Defense of Marriage Act, where we've all voted, not where I voted and others said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman, and states must respect that. Nobody's violated that law. There's been no challenge to that law. Why do we need a constitutional amendment? Marriage is between a man and a woman. What's the game going on here?
Isn't that funny? And then the polling on it changed, and Biden was like, no, what are you talking about? Come on, I'm practically a gay minister here marrying gay couples. It's all I ever stood for in my life. And that's the problem. He's completely unprincipled. Okay, you know, gay people want to get married, go get married. You can't be any worse at it than straight people. Go have fun, right? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, even though they say. Good luck out there. Okay, but the reality is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is polling in some places at close to 30%. And if Biden isn't on the ballot, because that's the threat by the DNC, hey, ho, if you guys don't stand down and let South Carolina go first, we're not going to put Biden on the ballot out there, at which point he goes 0-2. And now what people start to see in the media is, hey, we've got this president in his late hundreds. Nobody wants him to run again. Okay, and he just happened to lose the first two primaries. That can become a very big liability for a guy like Joe Biden. So what's playing out right now is pretty fascinating because there's nobody out there that can make the case for Biden. Okay, he's still out there not running on what he can do, but running against what he wants you to believe the Republicans would do. Okay, here is Biden in Washington yesterday claiming it's MAGA Republicans. Look out, I'm telling you it's bad. Here it is, clip 25.
Unfortunately, our MAGA Republicans in Congress are trying to undo all the progress we've made. They made it abundantly clear when the first bill they passed, this new Congress, while they were holding the country hostage over the debt limit, was to repeal the climate provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act and replace them with handouts to the fossil fuel industry. Not a joke.
Oh, it's totally a joke.
You're not telling me the truth.
Okay, he's not. It's so stupid. But this is what politics have descended into. Okay, it's an exercise in convincing voters who your opponent is. Like, do you remember a time where it was, you know, a chicken in every pot. Vote for me. Everybody allows it. That's not how it works now. Now it's a, you know, the Republicans want to hit your transgender kid over the head with the pot. No, they're anti-chicken. They're racist. I've heard them say things about dark meat chicken. No, you don't understand. Who the Republicans are, you got to elect me. But there is no promise to get that chicken in the pot because they don't have the wherewithal to do it. In fact, they're trying to ban livestock and poultry because of the emissions. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Not to mention the stove that you'd actually cook that chicken in the pot on. Okay, which if you remember, the Democrats are like, no, we're not trying to ban gas stoves. Oh, this Republican conspiracy. They're always working people up. And what did they do a few weeks later? they went out and banned gas stoves. Okay, they're now trying to ban gas furnaces. In the name of what? Helping the environment? The climate? They have no idea. Okay, everybody telling you they're going to help the environment. Okay, if you could subtitle speeches, every single speech about the environment would be subtitled with,
"Please give us money."
That's all it ever is. They're just trying to get paid. Okay, in this instance, a lot of people get paid if Biden continues to be the president. That's the hook here. Okay, all of the special interest groups that control this presidency, all of these climate loonies that are out there, all the idiots selling out our economy to China, who manufactures 99% of the green energy infrastructure while polluting the world by a 5-to-1 margin comparatively to us. Okay, all of these woke lunatics on the left that want them reading dirty books to your kids.
Everything woke turns to
the teachers' union standing in the way of school choice. All of those people continue to get rich. The Democratic operatives continue to get rich if Biden is still the president. That's why they're doing everything they can, fighting like hell to shorten the primary track, because it's really hard to win a race if your candidate can't even stay upright.
He's an old guy, has dementia, can't lead us, and the country is screwed. Tell some big lies, barely speaks English, sniffs children and their mom's hair too. Goes the wrong way when he leaves his speeches, gets lost each day in the White House yard. All the Dems say that we should re-elect him. How can he run when walking is hard? And Joe keeps
falling, yeah, he keeps falling.
Keep falling.
Keeps falling, yeah, he keeps falling.
And Joe
keeps falling, yeah, he keeps falling.
Keeps falling.
Keeps falling, yeah, he keeps falling.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. Talking about the 2024 election, I'm going to tell you, man, Democratic Party is like a bag of cats right now. Wow. Nobody wants Biden to run. That's the problem. And now we've got all of this ridiculousness as it pertains to potential criminal wrongdoing in the Hunter Biden probe. The fact that whistleblowers are coming forward, the FBI is screaming and yelling. Here's Miranda Devine. She was on with Sean Hannity last night. A show I am scheduled to be on tonight. But here's Miranda last night, my opening act, talking about the fact that Biden is not necessarily a shoo-in for this nomination. Clip 34.
Anybody who thinks that Joe Biden is a shoo-in for the next election is nuts, because he's a very different candidate now to what he was back in 2020. You know, I think something like 61% of voters no longer think that Joe Biden is honest Joe. So for the voters, it's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so I don't think that that is a package deal of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
And she's not wrong. Okay. They, you know, are historically the least popular duo to ever seek re-election in this country. That's Biden and Kamala.
Kamala is a lying sociopath. Fact checked.
She's a mess. Okay. And you understand that everything they've done that they claim to be, oh, it's a victory, it's been good for the American people. Okay, get past the character. Yes, she is a little bit of a sociopath, as Lincoln said. Not the most authentic laugh in the world when she talks. It is. It's very Woody Woodpecker. It is. And of course, you know, Biden being the only president in history who takes more time to exit a speech than he does to give one. Given that the guy's always getting lost, you know, I don't know where the hell he's going. It's a mess, okay? But it's the country that's the real bigger mess. That's the issue here. you know, whether you're talking about the border, you're talking about inflation, you're talking about crime, you're talking about failing inner city schools. I mean, there's really nothing you can point to right now that you could tell me is better under Biden than it was 4 years ago. Like, actually nothing. You know, things they prioritize, like, oh, we spent a bunch of money on the climate. Great. Does anybody in America benefit in any way from spending on the climate? No. Okay. Unless you're one of those yahoos who's out there preaching that the world's going to end and then flying around from doomsday prophecy to doomsday prophecy on your private jet, in which case, yes, the climate agenda has benefited a few people.
Money, 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 money.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. And if you didn't hear me say so earlier, I am hosting Fox News Saturday night, this Saturday night at 10 p.m. And one of the guests I booked on the panel is Tudor Dixon.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
No, it is not stupid. In fact, I also took the additional step of booking her on today's show, and she is here now when the crowd goes wild. Tudor Dixon. Hey, girl.
Thank you.
Come on. I'm excited. We're working a double, Dixon. I don't know who fell asleep at the wheel twice, though, to let us go on together twice in 1 week. We shouldn't get away with this.
I know. It's so dangerous, but it's happening, so people will just have to deal. You're probably getting fired.
Oh, no, I'm gone. Are you kidding? Whoever booked this shindig is long gone. It's funny. I'm sitting in my radio studio right now, and my taxi license is on my desk. I'm not kidding. I don't know if management put it here or somebody did.
Put it in your pocket on the way home.
Isn't that bizarre? They're like, you know, you're going to want to renew this. We saw your show yesterday, but how you doing? Are you fired up to get to New York again?
I am, yeah. I'm really excited. Thank you for letting me come.
Stop it, Tudor Dixon. It's the least I could do. We haven't been on TV together in like a week and a half. The American people were going through a little bit of a TV drought.
That's right, yes. We have to give the people what they want.
It's been a while since your publicity team cringed. And the audience at home was like, what the hell did they just say? But here we are saying it again. Let's talk. Let's do some adulting, if we could. I was talking about 2024 election earlier. There's this funny thing going on. Like, the Democrats, obviously, they're trying to shorten the race for Biden and have South Carolina be the first primary. That way he wins, you know, a big percentage of the black vote, and maybe that muscles other people out of the race. But this is just me and you talking, not political analysis, just basic horse sense. Do you get the feeling that the people that want to challenge Biden are becoming more emboldened or less emboldened by the day? Like, what's your gut on that?
I mean, do you think, like, the interviews on Fox News, the federal PACs being formed, are those giving you vibes or like election vibes? I don't know. I mean, yeah, kind of.
You know, for a guy who has no interest in running in 2024, Gavin Newsom's doing a lot of TV, is he not?
I know. I feel he has that slicked back hair and yeah. That look of, like, could be president, could be Dracula. It could go either way.
Yeah, I think he's auditioning for a role in Wall Street 3. He wants to play the Michael Douglas. Couldn't he be like a sleazy 80s stockbroker if he had to be?
Yes, but there's some. I think that there's something about that. You know, it's like suburban women are thinking, I mean, this guy is, he's a smooth talker. He's everybody's scary ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. He's an 80s villain, and it does work on suburban women who don't go into the city. If they go into any of the cities he's run, forget it. Roll them up, girls. We got to get out of here. But I guess that
he's created some machine to take down Spider-Man somewhere.
Tudor Dixon is in the house giving out spoiler alerts about the next Marvel movie. Do you want to laugh, by the way? So listen, I was in L.A. this week. I'm filming a documentary about the moon landing, and it's just exploring the anniversary of the people claiming it was a hoax. Like, a guy wrote a best-selling book in the 70s, and he said we didn't really go. We flew into space, but we faked the landing. Anyway, it's kind of ridiculous. But I was interviewing people on Hollywood Boulevard yesterday, and a guy in a Spider-Man costume. Okay, you know those guys who, like, take pictures with tourists for money? And
yeah.
I asked him, I'm like, yo, Spider-Man, I'm like, what do you know about the moon landing, real or fake? And he's like, no, I got no comment. And I said, well, does, like, I don't know, Superman, did any of the other superheroes say anything? And he's like, yo, he's like, I don't talk to Superman, bro. It's like DC and Marvel. And I was like, yo, I'm like, you're shaking down tourists for Polaroids. This isn't a real thing. Like, you can break character between you and me, but he couldn't break character. And I learned something out of California, and this is why Newsom is the governor. Okay, these people are, they are, they're actors. It is, he is a perfect Hollywood candidate.
Yeah, well, yes, he's straight out of Central Casting. He really is. When you look at him, you really can feel that that is, he's been auditioning for this. Now, the funny thing is, on our side, people have been prepping this for this as well. But for some reason, it doesn't have that feel. It does not. I mean, he's slick. You watch him and you go, gosh, yeah, he could convince people. I mean, he could easily, we could easily have no idea that he has a giant cricket suit that's going to walk up the walls of the Eiffel Tower.
So it is so common.
At any moment.
We're talking to the great Tudor Dixon, and we're having a grown-up talk about all things America. The stat,
right.
this is a kind of high-minded political analysis you get on Fox Across America, is which Marvel villain would Gavin Newsom be? Well, you've got this other upstart, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The party just wants to pretend he doesn't exist. But he's, you know, he's out there. He's polling at like 22% right now, which, again, I think is indicative of the fact that they're just so historically unpopular, like Biden and Kamala. Biden's approval rating right now is at 39%, dude. That's like, that's not the best. You know what I'm saying? And, the fact that he clearly want him to be the guy, it would seem that the party wants him to be the guy, meaning the party leaders. But, I mean, don't you think if you were managing the Democratic Party, like, wouldn't you want to find a creative way to get somebody who, I don't know, was polling at, say, like 42%, maybe somebody who could crack 43?
Well, don't you think that they are, I mean, you've commented that obviously something looks fishy with Newsom doing this. I mean, Whitmer started a federal PAC. There are people that are, it's like vultures. I really think that, I was talking about this the other day. I said, it's sort of like vultures circling him, like they know that it's close to the end. What end? I'm not sure. Is it just the end of the presidency? Is it the end of something more? I don't know what they think, but it really feels as though we're being duped. Like everybody's going, oh, you're running against this guy with these really low poll numbers, but then slick Gavin Newsom is going to come up with Gretchen Whitmer on his arm, and they're going to come out as a team, and everybody's going to go, yeah, I really like them. They look good.
What? Let's talk about this. So we went from a Marvel movie to an M. Night Shyamalan movie where the people that were telling you Biden was the candidate the whole time were really the candidate. Like at the end, you're like, oh my gosh, this
guy,
the guy was just on Hannity saying Biden's the candidate. It turns out he was the candidate. This is crazy.
Why does he make that really beautiful commercial? I mean, how many people are just like, you know what, as governor, I feel like just making a nationwide commercial just for fun because I'm doing such a great job with California. We should advertise that.
Yeah, I'm dying because I was in D.C. for the weekend of the White House Correspondents' Dinner because, Fox likes to send their A-team. And unfortunately, most of them couldn't make it. So I stepped in somebody's place. But the point is, I was there. Okay.
You're slipping through a lot of cracks.
Yeah, a lot of cracks, Tudor Dixon, a lot of cracks. Yeah, listen, you got to know a thing or two about crack to get into the town of Hunter Biden. You do. It's just reality. I mean, think about that. Marion Barry was the mayor of D.C. That's a great Chris Rock bit. He's like, who did he run against? Okay, the guy smoked crack and got arrested for doing it. He's like, who did he beat twice that you could do that? But let's stay on message for a second here. When I was in D.C., I know. When I was in D.C., okay, Gavin Newsom, I went to 5 parties in 2 nights. Just, hey, what's up? You know, the agencies throw parties, all that stuff goes on. I went
all to. Right, you don't have to brag.
No, but what I'm saying is, listen, you've seen how I dress. I only got in because people thought I was serving hors d'oeuvres. They're like, oh, this guy's clearly a head waiter.
That's
funny. But I'm walking around these parties. The one guy I saw at all 5 parties was Gavin Newsom. Every party. He was hanging out, working the refs, talking to the media people. That's why, like, in my spidey sense, to take it back to your analogy, kind of kicked up because I was like, you don't do this. You know, because you need to win California again, okay? California's like 99.4% liberal, and that's just counting the living voters in California, you know? So there's something going on there, Tudor. But here's my question for you, okay, getting past all of that. Has anyone low-key yet talked to you about being their VP?
No, but did you see that I was actually in an article? It was such a cool moment for me. My girls were like, wow, really? I said, that's not actually going to happen, but we're just celebrating the fact that someone thought of me.
Ooh, Tudor Dixon. Listen, a lot of people think of you. They're usually parole officers, but no, let's talk about it for a second. Let's not say you have no love out there. But no, hold on a second, because I just got off a plane. Like, I flew overnight to get back to work because people were starting to talk. They thought I went Hollywood. But what were they talking about? Did you get in trouble for anything, or was somebody like, she could be my VP? What went on? Or is it not repeatable?
There was some poll that went out, and I got 2%. 2% as the chance of being Trump's VP, I think it was.
Whoa. 2%. Hold on a second. Well, we're moving on now. Oh, girl. There it is. 2% Nixon in the house. No, that's great. Listen, I don't, Tudor, this is one thing then, okay? Everyone who comes on my show is cool. That's the one hook, because I don't actually know what I'm doing. I'm just like a regular person leveling with regular people. So
that's why people like listening. They're like, it could go down the tubes at any time.
Oh, they love it. This is the most empowering show on radio, because everyone listening walks away feeling like they too could get a nationally syndicated talk show. That's there's no one listening to this right now that doesn't think they can do exactly what we're doing. That's the hook of the whole show. Okay. But everyone who comes on my show is like real. They're just cool. You know, they're cool, regular people that I like talking to. No, if they got to know you, you'd actually absolutely be on somebody's VP shortlist. But I don't doubt somewhere in the recesses of your mind that you might be running for another office again. What do you think about that, Dixon? Spill the tea.
Well, I always say, I mean, maybe it's like pregnancy and you forget and then you do it again. So there's a chance. I mean, there's a chance. Michigan is going down the tubes. It still needs saving. But right now, that's not happening anytime soon.
No.
I'm going to focus on what I can do to help other people. But mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think that I'm enjoying talking to people like Jimmy.
Oh, Tudor.
I'm so pleased to be on here. No, I do. I do like talking to you.
I know. We're good buddies.
You're right. People do like this show because they feel like, yeah, you could just talk to that guy.
No, we're real pals, okay? And all we're trying to do, okay, with everyone listening at home is like every one of these issues, and this is what I always say, there is a political side to every issue, but there's a human side to every issue. And if you just focus on issues from like how they affect all humans, not how they vote, just how they affect us, like you could actually create a better country. Now, to be clear, most of those policies happen to be conservative policies. So it does help politically if you lean to the right to advance that type of an agenda. But I do think that's the Republican advantage right now, is they would prefer a battle of substance, because a lot of what's coming from the left is just a battle of sensationalism, like vote our way or you're a murderer, vote our way or you're a racist or a transphobe. Wouldn't you agree that, you know, for candidates who are running, not the dirtbags that are just hanging out on my talk show talking about Spider-Man, wouldn't you agree that for the adults in the room, wouldn't you agree that substance is better than character stuff right now? For the Republicans anyway?
Yes. But you have to focus on the right things. And I think too often times we have really good policies, but we come out swinging and people are like, yeah, I don't like the anger. I don't like anger politics. This is why I prefer to joke. But you know what? You have to be careful with that too, because it really makes the other media mad when you joke.
Doesn't it?
But I really do think that we have great policies. If we were just out there talking about it in the way that we live it every day, which is to in a joyful and positive way.
Thank you. I mean, seriously, if you ever run again, right? I think the campaign bus is going to be a Volkswagen bus, like the kind, just like a hippie campaign. Yeah, no, it's total. No, I think it'd be great. Everybody can bundle in. I mean, listen, there's weed everywhere anyway. No one's going to hold it against you guys.
That's right, yeah.
It is crap. I was in California yesterday. A cop stopped me for driving without marijuana. I was like, wait, what? Is this legal? I could do that? It was so crazy. He's like, your marijuana's expired. Your coexist sticker isn't here. I was like, oh, I'm so confused. But the point is, Tudor, you have a plane to catch. You got to come to New York and make some TV magic. The American people are counting on more of this excellence. How could we deny them this on a Saturday night?
I know. Well, that's what I thought. I was like, gosh, should I actually fly out there? And then I thought, well, how can I not? How can I not give this to the people what they want? Give them what they want.
Thank you, Tudor Dixon. A huge win for the American people. It comes this Saturday night, 10 o'clock. It's Fox News Saturday night. Tudor will look sharp. I am ironing my leopard print onesie as we speak. It's going to be a banger. So get your game face on, girlfriend.
It'll be your last night after you get fired. So we have to make it good.
Dude, I love that you keep saying, oh, you know, you're gonna get me fired. Dude, I don't need your help. Do you know the things I'm doing on the air right now? I might only be in this studio because I've barricaded myself in for all you know. Your threats don't scare me, Dixon.
It may be our last night together.
It might be for the good of everybody. But good stuff. I'll see you in the green room tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
You're the best. Take care. There she goes, the great Tudor Dixon, my good pal.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Stop it. She's a good egg, and you will watch her this Saturday night, 10 o'clock, on Fox News Saturday Night, hosted by yours truly. I'm back after this.
He's the host you shouldn't get too close to.
A lot of things about me you don't know anything about, Daddy. Things you wouldn't understand. Things you couldn't understand. Things you shouldn't understand.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Earlier this week, you saw Gavin Newsom. He was on with Sean Hannity, a show I'm scheduled to be on tonight. And he was taking all kinds of shots at Florida and DeSantis and the migrant relocations and everything in between. Ron DeSantis was just asked about it a short while ago, and he had an answer for Gavin Newsom. Here it is.
And yet with all those problems, he has a real serious fixation on the state of Florida. I mean, I think it's just bizarre that he does that. But what I would tell him is, you know what? Stop pussyfooting around. Are you going to throw your hat in the ring and challenge Joe? Are you going to get in and do it? Or are you just going to sit on the sidelines and chirp? So why don't you throw your hat in the ring, and then we'll go ahead and talk about what's happening.
You and me are going to fight when that bell rings at 3 o'clock.
DeSantis wants the fight. Something Tudor Dixon was talking about earlier. The reason Republicans are confident is because guys who know how to fight the idea battle, like, you know, DeSantis, to his credit, stays on message and will fight a battle of substance. A battle of substance overwhelmingly favors the Republican Party.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
Okay, that's just reality. And when you look at a debate between Newsom and DeSantis, Newsom's got the state more people are fleeing than any other state in the country. DeSantis has the state more people are moving to. When you think about it, everyone goes, well, you know, DeSantis, it's not his leadership. You look at the weather. Okay, well, if that were the case, California has the same weather.
I think he's got a point.
In fact, Florida's got worse weather because it's more humid. Okay, California doesn't get humidity. It rains twice a year. Okay, the issue in California is, you know, you can't walk down the street without getting chased by a time traveler, some pantless hobbit. There's all kinds of lunacy out there. I've seen it. I was just there. It was horrifying. But down in Florida, where they're looking at a record level of job growth and income growth and no state income tax, and they're not spending themselves into oblivion or chasing corporations out of the state, you know, except, of course, the people who run Disney World, which is...
So I guess we have some issues.
But even Disney isn't going anywhere. I don't care. But the point being is DeSantis, okay, wants to take on all comers because he can run on his record and do well. What Newsom is doing, and this is where Newsom would be a bad leader, okay? Gavin Newsom really wants to be president, really wants to be the nominee. Really, really, if he had the balls, wants to just say, hey, I know we've got an incumbent. I know this isn't traditionally what we do in this party. But at the end of the day, come on, look at the guy. 32% of the country thinks he's mentally fit to be in office. Okay? I mean, come on, look at the state of the country. Come on, look at the state of the poll numbers. Okay? Gavin Newsom, okay, desperately wants to throw his hat in the ring and just challenge Biden. But this is why he'd be a bad leader. He doesn't have the courage. He's not leading the room. He's reading the room. Well, that's not popular in our party. That would maybe get me in trouble for 2028. I don't want to upset the apple cart. Is that actual leadership? No, it's not. And that's why Gavin Newsom would lose now and he'd lose 4 years from now. He's a clown.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. And we are coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting as we always do from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Jimmy Failla, Fox Across America, back in action. We had a little bit of a hiatus. We were off filming a documentary in Los Angeles, telling some jokes out in Mesa, Arizona. But now we're back. We're getting the band back together, and we are getting ready to sing the hits in this hour.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Let's talk about it. Kat Kamick's going to be here. She's, of course, a superstar congresswoman from the 3rd Congressional District down in Florida. We're also going to talk to Diamond Dave Landau, who is out on the road. You can see him in Austin, Texas. If you're listening on KLBJ, he can see him at Cap City Comedy Club this weekend on Friday and Saturday. Go hang out with Diamond Dave. He's as good of a comic as there is working in the country right now. I'm in New York after a little bit of a road trip, as I said, and what I came home to this morning really did drive me nuts. Daniel Penny, who is, of course, the former decorated United States Marine who was 1 week away from graduating college, who has just been indicted for putting a homeless man by the name of Jordan Neely in a chokehold last month on the subway. Now, if you remember, Jordan Neely is a guy who used to be a Michael Jackson impersonator in Times Square, who ultimately descended into madness, sadly, there, but for the grace of God, go all of us. Because of his dependence on, I don't know, was it substances? I don't know if there was some type of a mental illness already built into his DNA. But the fact is, poor Jordan Neely did go nuts and became somebody who was violently harassing people on subway trains. Okay, this, of course, culminated a little over a month ago with him threatening to kill women and children on the subway, at which point a United States Marine by the name of Daniel Penny threw him in a chokehold to subdue him. In the process of doing so, Jordan Neely ultimately did die in what all of the race pimps on the left don't tell you about the incident. You know, they told us it was a lynching, as AOC said.
AOC is a dope.
Totally. Okay, but what every one of those dirtbag race pimps told you is, oh, he's a racist, this white supremacy. They left out the fact that Jordan Neely was assisted by a black man. They also left out the fact that Jordan Neely conveniently, if you watch the video, Daniel Penny was assisted by a black man, meaning Daniel Penny did not kill Jordan Neely because of the color of his skin. It wasn't a white-on-black incident. It was a white man and a black man subduing a black lunatic, sadly. Race doesn't influence his craziness. He was just a crazy person who was threatening a train full of minority women and children and, you know, fellow passengers. But sadly, the race pimps don't tell you that. They also don't tell you that if you watch the video, they put Jordan Neely into a recovery position after choking him because the man's intent was not to kill him. He was a former Marine trying to keep the people on the train safe. The reward for doing so is he has just been indicted, sadly, in the chokehold situation, and he faces one charge of second-degree manslaughter, another charge of criminally negligent homicide. He could face up to 15 years in prison if he's convicted for the first charge. Could get another 4 years for the second charge. Okay, but the loser here is not just Daniel Penny. It's every single woman riding the subway.
Bingo.
Okay, it's every single woman on every one of these lawless streets in every one of these woke cities that have more empathy for the criminal than they do for the law-abiding citizen.
Everything woke turns to
I'm not saying Jordan Neely should be dead. But there's no world if you ride mass transit anywhere in America. Okay, this is not unique to New York. If you go on the BART in San Francisco, if you go on the transit in D.C., or you go on, you know, in L.A. or anywhere, okay, they've become rolling insane asylums. And the people who are forced to ride them every day, you know, the Democrats always tell you, oh, we care about the poor. Oh, we care about the children here in the Democratic Party.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
If you care about the poor and the children, the first thing you prioritize is the subway. Why? Because in these big cities, what do the children actually ride to work? The subway. And when I say work, I do mean school. This is not China. The children, thankfully, here still go to school. They're not in the factories just yet. Give these commies some time, though. My goodness. Okay. What are happening on the subway to women? Okay, right now, the vast, vast, vast majority of the people thrown in front of trains, raped, and robbed are women. Okay, but right now, we didn't go protest on subway tracks in New York City because it's time to start sticking up for the women. We didn't protest because it was time to start creating a safer travel environment for children. No, there was a junkie threatening people's lives. He was ultimately killed. So everybody ran out and said, wow, we got to do something. Who's this guy protecting the women and children on the train?
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
It really is, man. And it's crazy because that's the message being sent. If you are a guy like a Daniel Penny who has United States Marine training, who has the instincts of someone who has seen combat and combat drills, to know that you're in a situation that's not safe for yourself or anyone around you, the message going forward is stand down. Don't do anything about it. Let them beat a few people up. You know, somebody's got to get shoved or stabbed, whatever the hell, you know, just do it. The last thing you want to do is go to jail because you tried to save people in one of these cities that has no regard for the people following the law. Yo, that's a basic human point I'm making. It's not a Republican point, okay? I don't make Republican points on the show. This is something that affects all of you regardless of who you voted for. If you get on the subway right now and there's some guy hopped up on K2 barking like a dog, telling you he's going to start biting people on the train. Arr! That happens all the time. You know how many times I get woofed out a week on the subway? It's crazy. Lunatics. Okay? Those people don't know if you're a Republican or a Democrat. They don't know who they are. They don't even know what's going on. Okay? They're hopped up on drugs. Yes, they've been failed by society. And you could argue in some way, yeah, maybe somebody had a rough upbringing or maybe, you know, maybe the condition of the city. Fine. Yeah, absolutely. I can have empathy for someone's deteriorating human state. But it doesn't mean we should just tolerate it at the expense of all the people who followed the law and did things right.
I think he's got a point.
But what's going on in these cities is they now, because it's a political lane to run in, have created more empathy for the people breaking the law, the people doing the drugs, the people throwing the women onto the subway, the people threatening to kill everybody on the subway. They're now the victims in this warped worldview of the people on the left.
They're crazy.
Okay, they're also stupid and hypocritical because a lot of the posture that they're adapting in this moment is on issues that don't affect them. Everybody like AOC who ran out there and was like, throw this guy in jail. He's a murderer. Okay, is she riding the subway anytime soon?
The answer would be no.
Of course not. She's driving around in a brand new Tesla telling you that Elon Musk is the devil. Oh, he can't have a buy in Twitter. He's the worst guy in the world. What do you mean? Hold on a second. I got to go plug in my Tesla. I'll be right back.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
She really is. But here is Daniel Penny. Okay, a guy who sprung into action because he thought he was saving people's lives. Okay, giving you his version of events, clip 40.
A man came on, stumbled on, he was appeared to be on drugs. The doors closed, and he ripped his jacket off and threw it at the people sitting down to my left. I was listening to music at the time, and he was yelling, so I took my headphones out to hear what he was yelling. And the three main threats that he repeated over and over was, I'm going to kill you, I'm prepared to go to jail for life, and I'm willing to die. You know, this was a scary situation, and Mr. Neely came on. He was threatening. I'm 6'2", and he was taller than me. There's a common misconception that Marines don't get scared. We're actually taught one of our core values is courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but how you handle fear. I was scared for myself, but I looked around. I saw women and children. He was yelling in their faces, saying these threats. I couldn't just sit still.
So you understand it's a United States Marine. And he assesses the situation, and he's like, this is a bad deal. Now, I can tell you this. I ride the subway a fair amount. This happens to everybody in New York at least a few times a week. Somebody just gets on the train, and you have to ignore them. You have to, like, listen to your headphones or look down. But you ultimately wind up in scenarios, sadly, where somebody on the train just hits the lottery, and now the guy's in your face. Now the guy might randomly hit you because you're not looking up at him, might randomly shove you, might attack some woman. Dude, it happens all the time. But they're not doing anything about it. And what I get so frustrated about, okay, is when you go out there and now we prosecute a guy like Daniel Penny, not only do you scare other potential heroes into standing down, but you make the entire conversation about something that's not even 0.01% of the problem. The Daniel Pennies of the world that are choking out homeless people that are threatening to kill innocent women and children are not the problem on our subway. It's the people that are threatening to kill innocent women and children that we should probably be focusing on.
That is correct.
But that's the conversation we're not having. Now we're having a conversation about pretend racism again. But the people who go out there and do this, I want you to understand, they're endangering us. Okay? That's the problem, because they're taking our eye off the ball. Don is in Springfield, Illinois. He knows things. Yo, Don.
Hello, Don.
What up, man?
Don from Rush Country. How are
you? You're damn right it is. How you been?
I'm doing fantastic. I want to make a comment about this Marine deal.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine. There's no former Marine. I am a Marine that's been out 40 years. I got a son that's been out 8 years, and we would all do the same thing because that's what we're trained to do.
Thank you.
And there's no damn way I would stand there and let somebody do that myself. I might get hurt in the process, but I'm not going to be backing off. You got to stop these people before they hurt somebody else. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
You would do the same thing if your child or wife was in trouble on that subway.
No question.
Period.
Yep.
Period.
You got to.
Well, this is ridiculous.
It is, and you want to know something? What's crazy about it is that all of the people who are potential Daniel Pennies in a city like New York now have to really think twice about saving the day, which ultimately becomes what? You know, it makes a bigger target out of the women and children on the train, man.
Yeah. The Marines are there. You break glass when you need them. They're one of the most elite fighting forces on this planet for a reason.
Yep.
But they're also compassionate. He did not do that on purpose to hurt that man.
Nope.
He wanted to stop him.
Yep, 100%. And you can only hope and pray that other people will not be influenced by what happened there. Because if they are,
no, I hope not.
It's not good, man. But I definitely think you're better off being out there on the road, Don. I hope you're not planning to move to New York.
I'm glad you're back, because I was going through DTs for 3 days on this radio, not hearing your voice, and I'm like, where the hell did he go?
Listen, I basically have like one more day off the rest of the summer. I'm never off, but I will be because I got to film some TV, and then it'll be you and me for months and months and months. You'll be sick of me by the time Labor Day comes, so don't worry about it, Don.
You may not hear from me for about 3-4 months, but I'm always listening to you because you make my day as I drive.
Ah, hot damn, Don. Well, I thank you for that. I will share that with the voices in my head. Hopefully they can quiet down. Have a great day, brother.
There's quite a few of them.
Stay safe out there. I'll see you soon. The great Don in Springfield, Illinois. Kat Kamick, Florida Congresswoman, around the corner. We're back after this.
A show that's taking orders from the big man upstairs.
We're on a mission from God.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, fired up to get a few minutes with this next guest. The last time we hung out, it was in studio, but Fox was like, yeah, never again. So joining us now on the phone, a superstar representative from the great state of Florida's 3rd Congressional District. She is a House Homeland Security member, a House Agriculture Committee member, and a fan favorite on Fox Across America, Kat Kamick in the house. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey, how are you doing?
Man, they broke up this band. We did one hit in D.C., and they were like, nope.
I know. What about that? Party poopers. Somebody's got to be the turd in the punch bowl, I guess.
They actually put an electric fence around that studio. Give you volts.
That's why my picture was hanging up in there. I saw that the other day.
It's an honor to be recognized, isn't it not?
Indeed.
How's the swamp treating you, Kamick? What's going on down there? Where is the focus? Where is the focus right now? Because it's all over the map in media. Is there a focus for you guys?
Jimmy, I don't know if you heard, but yesterday was a big day here on the Hill.
Oh, were we talking about COVID stuff?
No. We passed our big signature piece of legislation. And if you got a drum roll, you got to do it now.
Okay, here it comes.
But, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready.
No, just talk.
Oh, I thought you were actually going to give me one.
Oh, I would have played one, but no, go ahead. Come on. We got this, Kamick.
No, yesterday we passed the largest regulatory reform bill in history.
Yes, you did.
And I know that just got you all Twitter pated. It is the sexiest topic that we could possibly imagine to be talking about. But in truth, it is so serious. This fourth branch of government, as I call it, the regulatory regime that is dictating to us how we live our lives, how we run our businesses, how we basically do everything, That's the real threat. That's the American dream killer right there.
Yep.
And so we ended up passing the largest regulatory reform in history, the RAINS Act. And now it heads to the Senate where we're going to battle it out. We've got Mike Lee and Rand Paul that are huge champions of this, Rand Paul being the lead sponsor in the Senate. And so that actually passed yesterday. And the media was strangely silent on it. You know, they love the angertainment, right? Because that's what drives clicks. Heaven forbid we actually do anything of substance that is going to change the trajectory of America as we know it, right?
No, nobody wants to fix the country, because this is the thing, Cap. They've gotten so accustomed to the business model of just yelling everything's on fire that it's a lifestyle gig. People love it. You just like, tell me why it's burning. I'll yell about it, and we'll go to get off the air and go hit the bar. That's kind of what's going on. So I appreciate you laying this out, because I got you want to laugh. I flew overnight. I was on the West Coast. I'm working on the documentary, and I flew in from L.A. overnight. And to get caught up, obviously, I read everything known to man. I watched hours of TV, you know, got caught up on all the cable shows.
You can't read. Stop telling people you can read.
Listen, just work with me. Play with it. Just come along for the ride here, Kamek. Come on. So anyway, it's funny because it's not getting big coverage anywhere. Like, I would not have known to bring that up to you just based on my review of the news this morning. And that shows you how little people care about progress.
Isn't that amazing? It's true. I mean, I love how you talk about it as a lifestyle. And that's so true. Because, and certainly the left has mastered this. They derive their power from problems, not solutions, from problems.
Yep.
And so their whole model, the business model, has become angertainment. The whole model is, what can I say that's crazy so that I get clicks, so that I can raise money and stay in office? It's the dependency and control model.
That's so true.
I was coming off the House floor this morning from votes, and a reporter comes up to me and says, congratulations on the RAINS Act passing. And I said, thank you so much. I said, you know, I opened up the paper. I opened up all the Hill rags, not really any mentions of it. Why is that? And she's all like, well, come on, you know what drives headlines, right? To me, that was just so sad. But the reporter was actually willing to acknowledge the significance of it, but didn't actually, couldn't even get it printed. I mean, that's just wild to me, especially given the fact that regulations cost us as Americans $2 trillion a year.
God.
$2 trillion. That is 87,000 pages of regulations, and Biden is so crazy on the regulation train that he is adding 1,600 pages of new regulations every week.
Well,
every week.
Well, it's just because they regulate him as much as they do, between the shock collar and everything else in between, the cheat sheets, they'll cut his microphone. Kat Kamek. We're actually up against a hard break. They're going to cut my microphone. This was too short, but we got to do it again, boo.
Absolutely. You have a great weekend,
you
Jimmy.
You too, girlfriend.
And shout out to my husband, Matt. Happy 40th birthday.
Oh, Matt in the house. Happy birthday, big boy. There you go. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. And if the band sounds fired up, it's because they are. Joining us now on the line, comedy's sexiest man. You can see he's in Austin City this weekend at the Cap City Comedy Club. And his new comedy show, oh my gosh, Normal World, debuts this coming week on The Blaze. I am talking about Diamond Dave Landau. Hey, girl.
Hey, baby.
Is it Tuesday? Is that when this thing kicks off?
Tuesday night. It'll start at 10 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Sketch comedy, guests, music, just fun. You know, like the way late night was in, you know, at one time.
Remember fun? Good old-fashioned fun, where you kind of tuned in and you didn't have to care. Don't you think the world is exhausted from pretending to care? Because I don't think anyone cares. I think they pretend to care. Like, I think it's branding to act like you care because you look empathetic and decent. But do you think when people put their phone down and they're done tweeting, like, support for Ukraine, anyone sitting around caring about Ukraine?
No, I don't think they do. I think most people honestly don't even know where it is. If you ask them in America, they'd be like, I don't know what it is. Like, I just think it's bad if people die. And you're like, wow, that's noble.
Ukraine, isn't that what they're building the skyscraper with downtown? Yeah, I like cranes. Yeah. They're good.
Yeah, I heard that Ukraine was endangered, and I just want to make sure it's a saved bird.
I don't want it to fall over. I was a big fan of Bob the Builder growing up. The last thing I want to see is cranes go the wrong way. That wouldn't be good. We know that's bad. But that's my argument.
I had a whooping, Ukraine.
That's funny. I would argue, and it's that people care less now than they ever have, because it's all become like branding. That's what I always think when I look at the world now. It's like people want to position their online avatar in a way that makes it look empathetic and decent and caring, but they're only taking those positions because they want it to reflect favorably on them. Like, the people who care are actually like over there or trying to do something, whereas the people here, it's like slacktivism. You get credit for caring without actually having to.
Oh, no, you have to, if you wake up every morning and you're being told what to care about, then how could you actually care about that thing?
Yeah.
If you're getting up and it's like, this is what we're mad about today, and you're like, oh, yeah, I am upset about that. I do think that, and then you have to pick this stern side on, you know, and it's exhausting. I don't think anyone cares. Like, who really is buying a Tuckett bathing suit, for example? Like, just... No one. I bet you no one buys it.
Hey.
Two guys. There's like six guys who bought it for like a frat thing.
Yeah, I was going to say somebody who's shooting a sketch on TikTok and wants to get people mad, worked up about it.
Yeah, you know what? A conservative bought it probably.
It's the running joke. I mean, seriously, Diamond Dave Landau is on the phone. What do you think is probably 99% of Bud Light's clientele right now are probably conservatives that are still buying it just to do stuff to it in videos. Like, the last guy to buy a full 36-pack was probably Kid Rock, so he could shoot him up.
Oh, it's the last person who bought one just to have the beer.
Yeah.
It's been quite some time. But that's that's the truth. Like, and then they say that there was this staggering drop in sales, and they're like, can you believe it? And it's like, yeah, why?
Well,
did you not know this in the meeting when you were like, well, this sounds like a good idea. Let's have... Like, let's take away who she is. Let's have an annoying spokesperson who's going to make you look uncomfortable when you drink a beer.
Oh, it's my favorite. Is that of all the people? Because it's funny, but, you know, everyone has this, like, lane of oppression now. Like, the country's – life's never been easier in this country in terms of, like, tolerance. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you fought for civil rights, you think it's kind of hilarious what we consider to be oppression in this day and age, you know? But some of the things they're still tweeting about, like, Hillary Clinton yesterday was tweeting about the gender pay gap. And I'm like, dude, Dylan Mulvaney was a broke actor. He transitioned to a woman, and he's now worth $10 million in 1 year. Doesn't he defeat the whole argument that it's harder to make a living as a woman?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it completely flips it on its head. And also, it's not good if you're trying to prove that men are better at being women.
It's like, yeah, like, where, what the hell happened to the feminist movement? They're like, we've got to step aside for these guys. We owe them our loyalty.
Yeah, like, we don't want to just be housewives anymore. And some guy's like, I do.
Actually.
And they're like, yeah, he wants to be a housewife. Let's drop our thing and make sure we go over to this guy.
It's true. It's like, who do you think Dylan Mulvaney has set back more, Bud Light or feminism? Because the whole argument of feminism is like out the window right now. Like, did you see the headline this week where they're now calling lesbians non-men who are attracted to non-men?
Yeah, that's going to be hard to Google into YouPorn.
And I got to be honest with you, you might get other things besides lesbians.
Yeah. Can you imagine trying to be PC while searching the web for porn?
Listen.
You're like, I've never been this broken. Your computer just explodes from the viruses.
Yeah. If you're specifically using the term non-men, you also might run into an issue around the age of 18 and consent.
Right. Yeah,
give me some non-men. Like, whoa, yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. I would like to see some non-men action and just all of a sudden three federal agents kick in your door, not to arrest you, but to also watch.
Hey, are you incognito right now? Move over.
Yeah. We're in charge of this, and we just have to make sure it's not too bad.
You know, quality control here.
Slide over.
Quality control. Dave Landau is on the phone. He's in Austin. Is that where you are, Friday, Saturday in Austin?
Friday and Saturday night, yeah. I'll be in Austin at Cap City, and then I'm going to do a set of Mothership on Sunday. And
yeah, you are.
And then, yeah, the rest of the week's going to be focusing on getting this off the ground.
Oh, that's hot, man. What have you been to the Mothership that's Joe Rogan's club yet? Is this your first time there?
I've been. It's phenomenal. It's really, you can tell it's built by a comedian. Mm-hmm. The room is perfectly sized. It's not obnoxious. It's like got the best acoustics. Like you can tell a guy who's worth that much money was like, I want a perfect room.
Oh, and made a perfect room.
That's what he did. Yeah. There's like one called Little Boy and one called Fat Boy. And you go into either one and they're not that, like the one's not way bigger than the other, but they're just that acoustically perfect club room. And it's awesome.
Now, you're telling me it's better than LOL Comedy Club here in Manhattan?
Well, now I don't know if that's possible.
LOL for people listening. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Joe, of course, makes anybody who wants to do 5 minutes bring 11 people and then run outside and hand out flyers on the street, which makes you never want to see a comedy show ever again.
So everyone needs to know, if you're listening, LOL Comedy Club, folls in a long line of Times Square opium dens where they have barkers on the street barking you into the club. Like, hey, you guys want to see a comedy show tonight? You know, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Robin Williams. None of them are going to be here. But no, they just throw the names out. And the tourists are like, yeah, I've heard of those people. And then you get barked into the show to see 37 comics you've never heard of. Unless you are a local, parole officer, in which case you've probably heard of at least half of them, no?
Yeah, you're essentially just waiting for one of them to get off stage. There's 11 guys you have to cuff for child support back payments. And I would love it. Like, you've heard of Jerry Seinfeld? You're like, yeah. He's like, yeah, he's inside. I'm like, is he really? Like, this? It looks like it's a staircase to nowhere. Just get in there. Go.
That's how it works. So we were.
You have to drink buy two drinks or we'll hurt you.
Oh, it's so funny. I've been to a few of those comedy clubs where I started out performing in Times Square where, like, you literally show up to buy a ticket and they're like, you're not a cop, are you? You're like, wow, this is a upstanding establishment.
Yeah, I was – when I first got there, like, I met you there a good decade and a half, whatever, and it's like I was doing Gotham, and then I, you know, did clubs – like, I'd go to, like, the Cellar. I got spoiled because I had been on the road, and I knew a couple people. Mm-hmm. But then when I was living there, people would just invite me to their shows, and then you just walk in and go, like, oh, this is what that room is. It's just like 8 chairs in a basement and everybody looks like they're being held hostage. Like it looks like Benicio del Toro about to torture a guy in Sicario.
That's funny. Why is Michael Madsen here? And why are they playing Stuck in the Middle with You by Steeler's Wheel and being taunted with a razor?
I assure you, during the comedy, most people would want their ears cut off.
Oh, man. I'm talking to Dave Landau. And you have to know that. Every one of these Times Square comedy clubs, what they look like, it's really funny. A lot of times what you feel like as a Times Square comic is you've showed up to a karaoke get-together and you're refusing to sing. Like, you've got the microphone, you've got the speaker on the stage, and there's just a befuddled group of people waiting for you to belt out Careless Whisper so they can get up there next. But you ain't singing.
Yeah, nobody cares. They just want to go up and show you what a star they are using someone else's material.
Oh, there's so much of that. And you know what's funny? That is true, because this is what happened to me. When I was starting off in the city, doing open mics and then doing some of those clubs, you know, a lot of the guys work in those clubs are exactly what you just described. They're karaoke bands in the sense that every joke in their act is somebody else's. So they're actually like the greatest comics you've ever seen if you don't know that they've stolen every word of their material. So
it is shockingly good for 3 weeks in.
Yeah. Like, wow, this guy's amazing. This guy that was shadow boxing in the green room, we got this, son. Like, he did have it. It's just, you know, he was going to get arrested for grand theft larceny at the end of his set. But the point is, it's like demoralizing in the beginning when you don't know anything about comedy. You're like, well, I'll never be as good as the house MC at Ha. That guy's really got it.
Right. And what you don't realize is the house MC is the guy who meets everyone and takes their best joke.
Everyone.
I love that when you go around the country, and I've had that where I did a joke, and then a year later I came back to the same club, and the guy was doing my material, and I had to address him.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't even realize it. I'm like, you did, though, because everything you say isn't yours. Like, you can't just say... You didn't know. Like, we both know what you did. I'm just addressing it, and I'm trying to let it go, but just stop doing it.
Just don't do it anymore.
I don't know. I didn't realize I was doing that. Stop it.
Yeah, well, I had a dude. Oh, this is so wonderful, because I had this happen to me upstate, and dude's like, no, bro. I didn't. Yours was that you were a cab driver. I said it. I drove for Lyft. I wasn't a cab driver. I drove for Lyft. I'm like, no. It's not the job title. It's the word for word bit.
See, I didn't say I had a twin brother named Mike, Dave. I said I had a twin brother named Steve. And you're like, yeah, that's, did you see the problem? I do love that the ones that just change three words and they're like, well, that's mine now.
Yeah, no, it's a whole other thing here. They Taco Bell your joke. They change three. They just reconfigure the arrangement of the items. No, the meat's on top of the cheese. This is not a chalupa. This is a gordita.
Well, yeah, to people, they don't realize that to a comic, that's like taking your baby, except kind of worse because it's more fun and easier to make a baby. So, like, when you just steal someone's joke, it's like, no, like, I worked hard on that, and then I had to go through all these things that made me feel, like, strong enough or at least, you know, gutsy enough on stage to discuss this very personal thing in my life, and you just took it. And decided it was yours. That's why it's so, like, personal to people when you watch someone else doing your act.
Oh, man. It's rough. But you can do it all over Times Square tonight. Legends in concert. Some of the best karaoke artists in America.
The best you'll ever see.
There's a guy over on 9th Avenue right now getting ready to smash a watermelon with a sledgehammer. He's like, yeah, I just wrote this one.
There's a guy just in all red leather waiting to do Eddie Murphy's Delirious stuff. People have probably forgot about this.
Well, dude,
like
really quick. Really quick. Well, we have a minute about that. So the first time, okay, I grew up in the 80s. I watched a lot of Rodney D, and I watched a lot of The Tonight Show, but I wasn't watching Richard Pryor stand-up in the 80s. I wasn't. I watched Eddie Murphy, but I didn't watch a lot of Richard Pryor until I was doing comedy. And I was so underwhelmed at first because I had seen 500 people do this. I'm like, wow, this guy isn't really that original. And then it dawned on me that he was obviously the guy that had written it first. Would you say that he was pirated more than any comic in history?
Still.
Yeah.
I would still say that he is, because there's a lot of people who will do almost verbatim his act and his mannerisms and the way he moves. And there was something about him where, which a lot of people don't know, he was kind of like that Bill Cosby clean cut at the time, obviously not now, but I'm talking about in like the 1960s. And he left that to kind of join that George Carlin, Lenny Bruce, like actually talk about the street and bring things in that wouldn't, it had just never been done that simple. So without him, maybe one day it would have existed, but we don't know that. I mean, without him, there would not be the vulnerability and the openness in comedy that exists today. And I think in a good way, some people emulate it because it's out of respect. But I think in a bad way, a lot of people are just like, well, I'll just steal this and steal that and steal. And he, when you try to do Pryor, like he's talking about spousal abuse, lighting himself on fire while smoking crack, shooting out the tires of his wife's car. Like, you have to have an audience like you before you just share that information.
Yeah, no, you can't walk right on to the elementary school and just open with it. You've got to win these kids over, you know, doing this.
And I think it's why it's advanced, you know, like Eddie Murphy was a great, it sounds weird, but we were both 80s kids. He was a great quotable comedian four kids who are sneaking in to watch comedy shows.
It's so spot on. Nobody likes blue humor more than children because it's the greatest, most risque. You actually laugh until your health is in danger because it's so funny.
Absolutely.
But that's what draws you to comedy. Filthy comics are creating little kid comedians everywhere, whether they know it or not. Dave Landau.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I didn't buy the button-down mind of Bob Newhart until I was like 30. So just to give you an idea. But I had Kinison when I was 9. So
yeah, I had seen Slapshot 71 times. You're right.
Caddyshack was like, at first I liked it for the gopher, then I started getting the jokes.
Dave Landau and I are going to be watching Seinfeld for the first time next Tuesday. Good stuff. I'll talk to you later. Good luck this weekend in Austin. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
There he goes. There we go. Back after this.
The show that's crashing the establishment party.
I don't recall seeing your name on the guest list.
Nothing to be embarrassed about. I sometimes go by my maiden name.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth here on Fox Across America. We got the band back together for one day and one day only. Tomorrow, I am AWOL again. Come on, man. But now I'll be back rest of the summer. You'll have me here every damn day, so don't freak out. Get mad at me. I have to tape some serious TV tomorrow. I'm hosting Fox News Saturday night, this Saturday night. Tudor Dixon's on the show. Philadelphia radio legend Rich Zeoli will be on the panel. A fantastic comic named Jocelyn Chia. Vivek Ramaswamy. Dog the Bounty Hunter. And we're closing the show with some dirtbag by the name of Lincoln Failla.
Shut your mouth.
But yes, the Link Man will make his TV debut this Saturday night at 10 o'clock. You're going to want to check that out. And if you need some Failla vision between now and then, I am on The Bottom Line with Dagan McDowell and Sean Duffy tonight at 6. I will be on The Sean Hannity Show at 9 o'clock on the Fox News Channel. Tomorrow, you can see me on with cable news super hunk Sean Duffy, who fills in for Laura Ingraham. Either way, the show's over. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a...
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.